so sick of love songs.
He enjoys good music.
So tired of tears.
Don't embarrass me.
So done with wishing.
That's not
so
beautiful.
Sad that's, and slow.
That's not how it's supposed
Why
to sound.
Why can't I turn off the radio?
That's not how it's supposed to sound.
Appreciate it.
First off, Chan.
R&B mode. What's up, bro?
Great writing. Sure. Doesn't care who sings it.
Yo, he
what
does.
Up, brother? How you doing, man? Happy
G-Day to you, too. We creatives in love, we love big soles on our shoes.
Neo, them ain't hard, are they?
Huh?
Them ain't hard.
What are you talking about? These are
I wouldn't have went with the socks and the shoes.
These are my R&B shoes and socks.
I might have went with one or the other. I don't know if I would have
did the
combination.
Listen, it don't.
You can't look for an ally, and then when the ally tells you your shit's garbage, be mad.
I didn't look for an ally. I just wanted to talk about the heels on my shoes.
I didn't say it was garbage. I just said the combination I probably wouldn't have went for. That's all.
Because he did that for you.
Yeah, this is definitely my R&B outfit.
Yes.
This is it. Wow. I've been singing all morning. Wow. Neo Cole, like.
You working on the deal, huh?
No, I can't sing. But I would play in the video. Like, if Neo makes a love song and he don't want to be, like, the star of the video, then I could be the star of the video.
I should probably
the video vixen. You see what I'm saying?
That love interest, I'd be the, I'm the look on the show.
You're the least handsome person on the show, period.
It's my ass. It's my ass.
Bro.
I'm the looker.
Though, since you bought those teeth, you've been totally different.
Somebody talk to me first.
Chan, they only talk to you because you say stupid things.
Now listen, I got these teeth done. He can kiss my ass. Doing too much is
what R&B RC.
I am curious as to what makes this an R&B outfit specifically.
Because I got the big pants on. Like, you know what, Neo?
I'm coming from a place of love.
I don't feel that.
These are genuine questions. No judgment.
I feel
whatsoever.
Like now your writing is turning into toxicity.
Ah, here we go.
Right? At first you were writing and you were bringing people together. Right? I don't know if it was around the time you started writing for Rihanna and she was telling people that she wasn't fooling with them and all that. I don't know. I thought this was gonna be Libra brothers banding together.
It's absolutely that.
Does it feel like it?
As your Libra brother.
Does it feel like it?
Don't do that again.
Whoa!
As your Libra brother.
That's a place of
if
love.
If I ain't had love, I wouldn't say nothing.
You know what? It's time for a damn pivot. Do the show without me. How about that?
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. Knowing me, I got the key.
Welcome to the show, brother, man.
We appreciate you, dog, for sure, man.
We appreciate you being here. For us, it's always good, you know, as football players and feeling like we reached the level of excellence in what we did.
Absolutely.
To have an opportunity to talk to somebody that's in a different field or has a different platform who's also done that. 3-time Grammy Award winner and, to me, more deserving than that. On many other occasions.
Appreciate it, man.
It's one of those cool things when you start to research and you're like, oh, he wrote that song? Oh, he wrote that song?
Yeah, man.
Oh, how he put himself in that place to write that song? But, you know, growing up, being born in Arkansas, living life in Vegas with your mother, talk a little bit about your upbringing and how that helped shape you creatively.
Was born in Arkansas, Camden, Arkansas, which is, I don't even think you can call Camden a city. It's a town. So it's itty, itty bitty right outside of Little Rock, which is the main, you know, city in Arkansas. But I grew up there, well, was born there, did the majority of my growing up in Las Vegas, which culture shock, you know, you got cornfields and flamingo feathers. It was weird. It just created a weird juxtaposition. But I grew up in a house full of women. You know, mom and dad tried, didn't work out. Dad decided he didn't want to play no more, so. It was my mom, my sister, my grandmother, 5 aunts, and me.
Dang.
Till I was like 16. Yeah, yeah. Now, growing up in a household like that, you definitely learn some things. You learn the strength of a woman. You learn the resilience of a woman. you realize just how much smarter they are than us in so many aspects. And I think that comes from an ability to navigate emotion without fear. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of men get caught up in, you know, this macho thing where you're not supposed to show any emotion, or, you know, you're supposed to keep this hard outer core, outer shell. But growing up in that house, my mother said, if it feels good, smile, and if it hurts, cry, and never be ashamed or afraid to do either, because God has given you all of those for a reason. I think a lot of people don't realize your emotions they have purpose. You're supposed to use them. You're not supposed to be run by them. You're not supposed to be controlled by them. Of course, you don't pull out a hammer to screw in a light bulb. You know, you use the right tool for the right job. But to deny that the toolbox exists at all is doing yourself a disservice as a human being, aside from being a man. Yeah, man, I learned a lot growing up in that house. I like, you said something along the lines of, how did he put himself in that place to write that? And I feel like you were referring to, it's been said to me before, I've received accolade for being able to get into the mind of a woman.
Absolutely.
Right from but that's never been bro, I couldn't tell you what women think. I have no idea. I have no clue. I don't think any man does. I think women's complexity is part of their beauty. However, I write from a standpoint of a person that's not afraid of emotion. I write from the standpoint of a person that's not afraid to be vulnerable, that's not afraid to express how they really felt about a situation regardless of what somebody may think about it, what somebody might say about it, you know, and for whatever reason, those songs just tend to fare better with women over the course of my career.
How does that put, or does that put any pressure on you in relationships, though? Because sometimes you can hear a song and think, oh, that's exactly how this person is all the time. And then if you do something contrary to that, you know, a woman has no problem pointing out something you've said. So I know for you,
absolutely,
something you've written for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like, where is this guy?
Yeah, I can't be Mr. Love Song and then turn around and not be Mr. Love Song. Yeah, no, that's a lesson that I've learned over time. I mean, the reality is that I'm not perfect, you know? I ain't never wrote the song where I said I was perfect yet. I know right from wrong, but I feel like so does everybody. That ain't never stopped you from doing nothing wrong before. That just kind of is what it is. I think it's human to err, but it's also human to compartmentalize and go, all right, well, he writes these songs. Clearly, this has got to be who you are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time. And it's like, nah, you're mistaking Neo for Schaefer. Like, Neo is the identity that has given you this man that you hope to one day meet, or you know, somebody that's going to treat me like that. Okay, and mind you, it's a beautiful picture. However, Schaefer is the real picture, meaning I'm going to treat you right, but I'm also not above making a mistake.
And then to that point, honestly, nasty. I'm getting nasty now, but when you so like, it's so romantic and stuff, you got to show out every time in the room, in the bedroom then. Because like, you done painted this, you just said the picture you painted, and now you can't be, you know, I be tired sometimes, Neo. You know, sometimes I got a minute and a half for you, baby, I'm going to bed.
Listen.
That's all I got tonight.
Well, see, that's creativity goes a long way. What you can't do with, you know, certain members of your member, you do with other areas, with other things, you know. It's about being creative. And that's the thing that has helped me over the years, because I'm 44 years old now, and yeah, I'm tired too. I get it. I totally understand, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna make sure that you have a good time. It might not be as long of a good time as you wanted or thought you was gonna have, but you are going to enjoy yourself.
That's what I call that the bottom drawer.
Hey.
Got some stuff in that bottom drawer.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, you know, some battery powered.
I'm saying, accessorize. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with accessorize.
That didn't take long.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He just got
usually
there.
You wait until the middle of the show.
That's all good.
To get
he usually let them warm up. But he nasty, nasty.
I done made a lot of love to Neo's songs, so, you know,
and that's what it's for.
That's what it's exactly for. What it's for.
You feel like he's been in the room?
Nah, that's a fact.
That's what you say?
You know, I don't care. You know, if you want to watch Neo shit, we can.
I mean,
I'd rather not watch.
Hey, bro, can we care? Since we on creativity. Since the theme is creativity, you've done a lot though, man. I'm a fan, we're all fans.
Appreciate it.
From your music to acting to dancing, inspiration or your artistic pursuit. You know, where those influences come from?
Like I said, you know, I grew up in a house full of women. My mother was my musical hero, and it is still my musical hero. Like, I wanted to learn how to sing because of my mother's love of R&B music. R&B music initially, and then it you know, evolved into all kinds of music. But initially, it was R&B music. And I hated my singing voice when I was younger, because I didn't sound like the cats that my mom used to listen to. You know, she listened to the OJs and the Temptations and, right, you know, these kind of thick, raspier voices. And I ain't had that when I was young. You know, my joint was, you know, kind of nasally and high and a little weird. I hated singing. So that's when my mom introduced me to Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder. And she said to me, basically, like, look at the way that they use their instrument, and it'll help you get more comfortable with your own. You know, Michael Jackson's tone, Stevie Wonder's tone. I learned how to sing, basically mimicking those two gentlemen. And then from there, went into just style and performance and things of that nature. I started looking at a lot of Prince. You know, growing up in Las Vegas, the Rat Pack was a thing. Gravitated to Sammy, of course, because he was the one in the group that looked like me, you know? Just fell in love with the fact that this man could do it all. Like Sammy was easily the strongest member of the Rat Pack, which, you know, is arguably why Frank kept him so close, because you know how dangerous he was. That man could sing, dance, act, comedy, you name it, he could do it, and he did it well. Just being a Renaissance man of entertainment, like that's something that you know, that kind of hit different with me. And then you go into your Marvin Gaye's, you go into Prince, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, Sammy Davis Jr., Marvin Gaye. Yeah, those are my five kings. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, if I could take these five people and meld them into one person, that person is who I've always aspired Neo to be.
Yeah. Right. So I want to follow up to that. Most recently, Drake tied MJ with the most number ones on the top 100, right?
Yeah.
Charts. Ryan has been quoted as saying Chris Brown is more talented than Michael Jackson.
Well,
coming from an R&B student and legend yourself, I want to know your thoughts on that. MJ, Chris Brown, who's more talented?
I don't think that the healthy part of that conversation is trying to create competition there, you know, because Chris will come in this room and sit in your face and say that there would be no Chris Brown if not for Michael Jackson.
And he responded that way.
You know, so from a standpoint of who's more talented, I think it becomes relative at that point. Like, it's about who you are.
It's subjective.
Yeah, it's subjective. Like, as all opinions are, you know, it's about the person you're talking to. Me personally, both are amazing dancers, both are amazing singers. However, you have to factor in that some of the things that Michael Jackson was doing, he was doing without the use of technology that we have today. You know, without the ability to touch the whole world in a second. You know, it was a different time back then, and he was putting up the numbers he was putting up. You know, you almost can't compare the two situations. Michael Jackson, I've yet to see, all respect to Chris Brown, love Chris Brown to death, but I've yet to see Chris Brown pop up on the stage and just stand still for 15 minutes and grown-ass men is fainting in the crowd. I've yet to see Chris do that. You know, I'm not saying he's not capable of it. I've just yet to see it.
Right.
So okay. I think
it was a multi-layered question, kind
of.
You know what I'm saying? It was real heavy because he talked about talent. He talked about basketball and just talent. Your talent.
Well, the first thing I just
along
said,
with, you know,
I said if we put them in a musical Olympics, I like Chris Brown. That's all I was saying in a talent.
Okay.
Olympics.
But now, see, that's broad.
Yeah, I know.
Musical Olympics. Broad. What are the categories? What are the games in this musical Olympics?
I also don't
Olympics?
Like this either, though.
Because basketball would not be in the musical Olympics.
I didn't say basketball was in it. You tried to pin him against me in my outfit, right? You trying to pin him against me with Chris
that's
Brown.
That's his space. It's expertise.
Our birthdays are like 4 or 5 days away from one another.
And you've been singing his songs all morning.
I've been singing his songs. As soon as he come in, this is what we do. You know what? We'll handle this later.
You got your own clothing line.
That got whatever.
I am your brother,
sir. Let's try to get back here. I do have this question, though. In mentioning all of those musical influences, you start to hope to reach the sort of success that those entertainers had. And obviously when you do get to the point of winning Grammys and having these different hits, the fame comes along with that as well. What was that sort of adjustment like for you, having people pay so much attention to not only who Neo is, but who Schaefer is as well?
I will say I have absolutely zero regrets in my life. I regret nothing. However, were it possible to go back and do my career over and maybe take the route that Sia took, you know, the artist Sia? Yeah, where if Sia walked past you today, you wouldn't know who the hell she was.
Like, I think
I might have took that route.
Chance said, just like Sia, you can't see her.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bar. Jeez. All right, Chance. Do you think? The concept of celebrity, that was a serious adjustment, because I've never been a person that moved based off of what I thought somebody was going to think or feel, you know, especially strangers. Like, I don't know you. Why am I worried about your opinion of me? I've never moved like that. And being in the music industry almost kind of forces you to concern yourself with the opinions of strangers. And mind you, I got into the business, you know, before social media became what it is right now.
Right.
You know, it was a thing, but it wasn't the only thing the way it is right now, to where, you know, you online telling total strangers what you ate for breakfast like that. I don't come from that era. So it's just always been weird to me to put so much importance and emphasis on other people's opinions. It's like, mind you, it has taken me some time to realize this, but what I've realized is that opinions are, one, relative, and two, not special, because every single person on the face of this planet has one. So if I know that everybody in the room has an opinion, including myself, why would I ever allow anyone else's opinion of me or something that I believe in be more important than my own? You know what I mean? But people do it all day long. You get on there and you look at somebody talking crazy about you, and you allow yourself to actually feel a way about what a stranger has said about you. A stranger who probably is worse off than you, not that that matters at all, but you allow it to be so important to you. And I've never really cared. And then when I was like kind of forced to care, it just didn't fin well with me, man. It took a minute for me to realize that my opinion is just as important as anybody else's. To be a celebrity, so to speak, is to kind of live your life in a fishbowl a little bit. Yeah, everybody's paying attention and judging you slightly harsher than they would the average person.
That's what I was gonna get to, but you got to it. You're saying that your opinion matters like other people. No, it matters more to some than other people's opinion. And I think that's where the difficulty of celebrity, like you were able to gain, comes into play.
It was a time I talk about in college where I got arrested and I opened a newspaper that next morning, whatever, Monday morning, and somebody at the Orlando Sentinel said, you need to put this guy in a cage until Saturday to cut him out and play football. And that's what changed my mind about, like, I don't give a damn about anybody thinks about me. And that's the whole thing with, like, the show is I don't give a shit about what no one thinks or says about me at all. But I remember that moment that I had to click my mind out of it. Was there a moment that you had to, that you went through a time where you were like, you know what? I can't worry about everybody's opinion.
Well, yeah. In the beginning, I can speak about this because I was definitely one of those people. I'm not finna sit here and act holier than thou. Yeah, in the beginning, it mattered to me what people had to say. And when, you know, if somebody said something about me that just flat out wasn't true or gave an opinion, you know, that was negative, I would feel away, you know, or spoke foul about somebody that I cared about. I remember there was a point where people was going at my girl, you know, real hard about something. And in the beginning, I was clapback king. I'm on there, you know, talking to people that I don't know from Adam, like, fuck you, whatever the case may be, just going back and forth, to where my manager called me one day in the middle of one of my rants and like, bro, what are you doing? And I'm defending my woman. Oh, word from who? From these people online. Oh, so you defended her like somebody came to the house, like they pulled up with weapons after her or something? Well, no. Then what are you defending her from? Who are you defending her from? These people don't know y'all. You know what? If anything, you've made this person's day by taking time out of your busy schedule to respond to their foolishness. Like, you doing that person a favor with all of that right now. And at the end of the day, you're not stopping nobody from doing it. It's not like you're gonna pull up at his house and break his fingers. You ain't doing that. Right. If you ain't doing that, it ain't no point in even allowing yourself to be bothered by this. It's just what it is. People are allowed to say whatever the hell they want to say about whoever the hell they choose to say it about. And it just is what it is, man. Like, you can't, there's no way around it. So that, it was that moment for me that made me realize I'm putting too much importance on what these people think and how they feel about situations and circumstances that they have no clue as to the reality of, you know what I mean? So does, yeah, that was the moment for me.
Does that overconsumption of social media create sort of a creativity block where you might have to shut it down for a while? Get in the zone?
Definitely so. Yeah, man. It's the concept of just being oversaturated with all of it, man. Like, it just becomes a lot. Like, you know, you get an Amber Alert on your phone now, which you, all right, cool. You keep it pushing. Like, they didn't just tell you that a child is missing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it happens so often, and you hear it so much that you're desensitized to it. And that kind of becomes the situation with all things when you just overdo the social media. It's like, you know, you oversensitize when it comes to women, when it comes to emotion, when it comes to politics, when it comes to everything. It's just nothing is a big deal because everything is a big deal for 7 seconds.
You mentioned being 44.
Yes, sir.
You're our ages. Fred is a little bit older than
Here
us. You know, recently, he lost a close friend that he was born around the same time with, Dick Buckus. Shout out to the legend. And so he's a little bit older than...
I'm 47, dog.
then we are. You know, but...
I got to deal with this shit every show.
Hey, talk about social media. And social media, I do believe it's good at certain times to, you know, show things about us that we care about. Mm-hmm. From following you, it's obvious you care about your babies.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you've said it's the best thing I've ever done. Mm-hmm. I feel the exact same way about mine. But along with that, and along with how people want to consume content constantly, especially about celebrities, you've had to deal with a ton of relationship things that I feel like people want to deal with privately. Mm-hmm. You've actually asked the world through social media, or told the world, we are going to deal with this privately. But there's so many misconceptions, there's so much misinformation, mm-hmm, as well. How have you dealt with that in wanting to be the best you could possibly be to your family?
If you've really paid attention to me in regard to all of those situations, you'll notice that I don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. I rarely have a comeback for any of that, because I also realize that the more attention I give it, you know, the bigger it grows. It's okay. Like, you know, I can put gasoline on that fire more than anybody else can, you know. But at the same time, I just don't, I care, but I don't care. And what I mean by that is this: my personal life is mine. There are aspects of my personal life that I choose to keep private because it ain't nobody's business. You know what I mean? That's just the long and short of it. It ain't your business. And mind you, everybody, like we already covered, everyone has an opinion. Everyone is free and entitled to voice their opinion. And people take advantage of that right all the time. But I just can't allow myself to explain things to people that ain't got nothing to do with them. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I, you know, me and my wife, we got a divorce. You know, I made some mistakes. I made some absolutely terrible and horrible mistakes. You know, I've been exalted by the people that I've wronged. I've been forgiven. Why do I give a damn what y'all think about it at that point? You know what I mean? Me and my ex-wife are in a great place now. You know, as of right now, our focus, our only focus, and mind you, this is everybody's focus, everybody involved in the situation, is making sure that our children know love. That's it. That's it. They healthy, they happy, they know love. And anything else outside of that really don't mean much or nothing. It's like, you know, I tell the mothers of my children, listen, we don't have to be besties, okay? We ain't gotta call each other every Saturday and ask what we doing and figure out ways to get the, we ain't gotta do none of that. That don't have to happen. But what we do have to do is make sure that these kids is all right. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that's the most important part to me. And then as far as people and what they think and the opinions that they give, you can only judge me based off of the information that you have or think you have. Mm-hmm. You know, it is not then my obligation to come in and fill in the blanks for you. That's not my obligation. You know, if I wasn't who I am, you probably wouldn't give a damn. Why? Because it ain't none of your business.
Yeah.
And that's just what that is. Again, and I understand what it is to be a celebrity and people go, well, you know, that's part of it. You know, there are very few celebrities that get to do anything behind closed doors and they stay behind closed doors. You know, even things that should remain behind closed doors. That's just kind of what it is to be a celebrity. You put yourself out there, you ask the world to accept and love you, and you got to deal with the good and bad that comes with that. I've heard that that's been said to me before.
Yeah.
That may be true in some cases, but in my case, the only part of me that I've ever asked anybody to love is my music. I ain't never asked nobody to love me. I ain't never asked you to accept me or accept what I do, who I am as a father, who I am as a husband. I'm not your father, I'm not your husband. And when you listen to my music, you're not thinking about me. You're thinking about your father. You're thinking about your husband. And I don't need to be invited to the wedding, but you could play my song at the reception. And we good. That's all I've ever asked anyone to deal with me in regard to, you know.
Yeah.
And I love my fans and I love everybody that has allowed my music to be a part of, you know, these special and timeless moments in their life. But as far as what you think about me as a person, it means absolutely nothing to me. It doesn't, because I'm not perfect. I ain't never said I was perfect. I ain't never said I was above a mistake. And if you gonna cancel or condemn me because I made a mistake, all right, well, that's your prerogative. The sun is gonna come up tomorrow. My kids gotta eat. So yep. I'm gonna focus on those two things and let whoever feel however feel that. Because the truth of the matter is they gonna feel it anyway. Like, if you just got it made up in your mind that you're gonna misunderstand me, why would I waste any more time trying to explain anything to you? You've decided to feel this way about me. You've decided to have this opinion of me. You've made up in your mind, this is who I am. Okay, well, if your mind is made up, then why am I wasting time and breath trying to explain otherwise to you? It don't make any sense.
Father of seven, right?
Yes, sir.
Seven. Because I got my son, I got a 12-year-old, and now he's trying to, like you say, the social media stuff. He wants the Instagrams and all that stuff. But, like, I'm thinking about all the stuff we talk about in this show, and I'm very revealing with different stuff, arrest and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, protecting the babies, though. Cause like you're saying, hell with everybody else.
Right.
But now, at some point, my son's gonna come up and ask me about these sex stories. You know what I'm saying? So, like, from that standpoint of, yeah, the hell with them, but now I gotta...
Right.
How do you do that at the level of fame you are? I will never be as famous as you are. How do you do that?
I don't hide much from my kids. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, sitting down with my kids going, all right, and look what blog daddy was in today, guys. I'm not doing that.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, when me and my wife split up, I sat with my kids and we had a conversation about it. Like, my kids are mature enough for me to be able to do that. Like, look, here's the situation. What I've learned about children is that if you make it a big deal, it becomes a big deal, right? If you approach it like it's just sad and you know, oh, woe is me situation, oh, me and your mama, we don't love each other no more. And if you turn it into that, then that's how they're gonna take it. Like, I didn't take that approach with my children. You know, I came to my children like, listen, this does not mean that we don't love each other. It simply means that we've figured out that we're better friends. And now y'all have an additional house to go to every other weekend if you feel like it. You can stay at mommy house, you can stay at daddy house, you can stay at granny house, you can stay at TT house. It's just about the way that you approach it with kids. You know, that whole concept of if your little man fall down, if you go, oh, he gonna start crying. But if you fall, let him fall and let him get back up on his own, he'd be all right. It's the same concept. You make it a big deal and it becomes a big deal. You make it something that they don't have to, you know, they don't have to be bothered by it. They won't be bothered by it. The kids, they're impressionable. I don't feel the need to hide anything from them because we live in the information age. At some point, you're gonna see it.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you do, at some point, be it one of your little friends at school, bring it to you. I could say, no iPad, no phone, you know, and they're gonna go to school and somebody gonna bring it some way, somehow it's gonna get to them. So I feel like the best thing that you can do is just make sure that they're prepared when it gets to them. Don't let it be a shock to them when it gets to them. Like, I know that already. I know. Yeah, this happened. I'm aware. What else? That's the standpoint my kids can take because daddy done already talked to them about it. You know, mommy done already talked to them about it in a way that a child can understand.
I love that mindset. I want to pivot back to music, though.
Yes, sir.
Year of the Gentleman, critically acclaimed classic. I'm sure we appreciate you for it. I always wanted to know, right? So you have these artists, and you grow up, you listen to them, and they're amazing, and then they kind of disappear for a while. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they're not active, but you're like, damn, I want more. You know, I'm a fan of this person, I want more. One, you've been in the game for so long. I guess, one, how do you stay motivated to continue to create amazing music, whether that singing or writing, you know, for others? Much like Usher, who's had this resurgence with his residency in Vegas. Do we expect or can we expect to see something from you like that in the future?
The first part of your question, how do I stay motivated? Fun fact about me, I do this because I love it. I write music because I love it. If there was no money in music anymore, you still find me in the studio somewhere. Like, it's my therapy, it's what I do, it's my video games. That's what music is to me. And, you know, I've always made music. I won't say always. There was definitely a point where I let the industry steal a little bit of my joy because it took this thing that I loved so much and turned it into a means to be popular or if God forbid, you weren't popular, all of a sudden you weren't good anymore. You know what I mean? As if the number of eyes looking at what you're doing validates the quality of it.
Right.
And that ain't the case. If 2 million people come to the show, if two people come to the show, me and them two people gonna rock out. We're gonna have the greatest time of our life because I am on stage doing something that I love to do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come from how many people know what I'm doing, how many people know my name, how many albums are sold. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that that's where a lot of artists get wrapped up, and then you start chasing the world. You know what I'm saying? You start chasing trends and fads, and now you look like the old dude in the club. What are you doing here? This ain't for you. That's never gonna happen to me because I'm not about a trend or a fad. I don't really care if my name is the biggest name in the room. That's not what I'm in it for. You know, if you're not in it chasing that, then you don't fall into those traps. It's like, oh, they rapping like that now? All right, well, let me. Listen, this is what I do. And I know for a fact that I do this well. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that I do this from the heart. And anything that you do from the heart, you're typically gonna do well. And anything that you do well, typically the people that are supposed to catch you and find you will catch you and find you.
Right.
You know, now, how many people that is, if you allow that to be a motivating factor as to why you do what you do, well, you might be disappointed because it might be two people today.
Correct.
It might be five people today. It might be 5 million people next week. Like, you have no idea. You can't do it from that place. You can't do it from a place of, all right, I got to make this money. Anything that you took, that you take that and allow that to be the motivating factor becomes hollow. You done took the passion out of it. You done took the love out of it. So it's not going to be as fulfilling and authentic as you want it to be, because you're doing it for a shallow reason. I do this because I love it. And if nobody ever bought a Neo album or song ever again in life, me and my kids would have the most amazing dance parties in my damn basement every other night to daddy's music. And I'd be cool with that.
Right.
Because my son is my biggest fan. I'm good.
Hey fellas, it's week 8. And it's the same thing with us. We still partner with DraftKings. And if any new customer that signs up use the promo code ADJUST, place a $5 bet, instantly $200 in bonus bets.
Now, y'all know I'm gonna tell y'all to get the same game parlays, but you know what DraftKings gonna do? If you lose, they're gonna give you a bonus bet. Come on now, DraftKings watching out for
you. Man, that's a Channing Crowder kind of bet.
Hey, listen, all I know is just get this little device, get you an account, and then you get money. Easy, do everything they said, make it happen.
Hey, get your mobile devices out, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Any new customer using promo code ADJUST, place a $5 NFL bet, and you instantly get $200 in bonus bets. Now, back to the show.
You're amazing, obviously. Grammy Award winning, like everybody knows your discography and all that stuff.
What's that?
Why are you
discography?
Discography? What's that? That's, discography?
That's what it's called.
That's a word.
I'm just, yeah, that's, I'm proud of you.
Damn.
I'm saying, made me say fuck you in front of Neo.
You already said it.
Yeah, it was passive aggressive, like he insulted you in a compliment.
You see how he do us?
Like, ooh, that was a big word,
hey,
guy. Brother.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you this. Neo can't come back. He caught a lot of mess. You know what I'm saying? He started a lot of mess, dog.
Okay, like I threw the rock and hit my hand. I did that.
Because we even like, look at the name comes from.
Yes.
Somebody said that you see music like Neo saw the Matrix, like it's different. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that mean? Like, why are you better at music than pretty much the world? What makes, for real, man, honestly, like, he plays safety, he would knock your damn head off, he was smart as hell. This man ran a 4.2 at 240. Like,
yeah, it was
you knew why they was special.
Ridiculous.
Why are you special at this?
I don't know, man. That is a good question. What makes Neo special? I think that I understand the power of music. I think that I understand the concept that the right lyric can change your day. Like, the right song will make you rethink your outfit before you leave the house. The right song will make you, you know, make you do something stupid behind that girl that you know is stupid, but you do it anyway. Like, the right song will inspire you and motivate you to do that. Music is vibration, frequency, emotion. It can change a belief system. It can change an idea, it can change a thought. It breaks down barriers. You know, I remember the first time I went to Japan and I was tripping because it's like, I don't speak any Japanese. How am I gonna communicate with these people?
The music.
It's a music festival. It's 30,000 people that I can't speak to. But as soon as they heard ding, 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 we all spoke the same language in that moment. They sang every word. And I don't know if they knew what they were saying, but they sang every damn word. And that was when I knew, like, this is a power that you're not supposed to toy with. To this day, I don't understand how a person can write a song about nothing. About nothing. You're literally holding an atom bomb in your hand and you're trying to play tennis with it. Like, that don't make no damn sense. You can change things with music. And I think that, in that I understand that, it just makes my songs hit a little different. Because I'm respecting the power of music when I do what I do. I'm understanding that in this moment, I could be the reason that you and your wife go home and argue or make love. I know that I could be the deciding factor in that with this song or with this performance. You know what I mean? I'm aware of that power and I respect that power. Nowadays, that power is not as respected as it once was.
My question to you that really interested me when, you know, we found out we get an opportunity to sit down with you is, we look at people's bodies of work as them, right? Like, you know, how ignorant folks be at the cookout. Like, we all feel like we like depressed Mary J, right?
Right.
When Mary J makes a happy song, black people really be mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we don't want her to be happy. We want her to say, not gonna cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But for you, you are writing for others as well.
Mm-hmm.
What is your creative process like? How do you put yourself in that place to say, okay, I do have that atom bomb and I'm not gonna play tennis with it for me for sure, right? Because when Neo sings that, we're attaching that to you. But like I said, there's so many songs I just realized were written by you.
Mm.
How do you put yourself in that place to care that much for other people as well?
Well, I mean, okay, so it's no secret to anybody that I write a lot of love songs or songs based in and around the black, white, and gray of love. There is a method to that madness that is absolutely on purpose because love is an energy that will never go out of style. It may not be the most popular topic at the coffee table right in the moment. However, it ranks right up there with oxygen, food, water. You need it to live. A lot of people don't realize it, but you need it. It's an energy that is needed and necessary to maintain this life. So I stay in that place because I feel like everybody in some way, shape, form, or fashion has experienced the black, white, or gray of love, be it the bad part of it, the good part of it, the I'm not certain part of it, the fact that love and infatuation is cousins that look just like each other sometimes. Everybody has experienced that in some way. And I figure if I'm writing for a person that I don't have the luxury of being able to call personally, like, hey, so writing a song like this, would you say this? Like, if I can't do that, then I keep it in that realm. I keep it in the realm of love and relationship. And just knowing that everybody, you know, everybody can't dock everywhere, but everybody can dock there. You know, everybody can dock there in some way, shape, form, or fashion. You know, I'm a let the fact that it's a love song be enough to grasp your attention. And then from there, now we go get on the phone, you're gonna say, okay, but I would say this, or I would handle it this way. Now I can custom make it to what it is you want. But initially, the foundation, the base of it is gonna be love and, you know, what that is in the black, white, or gray of.
Hey man, you don't get tired of love. Sometimes love just sucks.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You don't ever go to the studio and say, you know what? We gonna dance today because...
We can dance to love. We can dance to anti-love. One of my biggest songs is anti-love. Why can't... So sick of love songs. Why can't I turn off the radio?
Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing about love. It's multifaceted. It ain't just, you know, waterfalls and butterflies and... Nah, everybody know that ain't real. Not all the time.
Right.
Not all the time. But if you can write about the good part of it and the bad part of it, and that middle area where you, what are we? When you get to ask those kind of questions, you know, I hate that question. So what are we exactly? What are we?
I feel like the what are we always come at
annoyed.
Hey, it always come at a great time. You feel like the relationship going good. You just chilling. You love the place you are. What are we? And immediately you hate the relationship.
Right.
We all say the same dumb answer.
We good. We cool.
Damn dummy.
I mean, we good. We, you know, what you
say?
We good.
Oh, we be like, we chilling.
About the, white, black, and gray. I thought you was talking about his shoes and socks.
No.
Nah, seriously. Bro, I want to ask you. I don't even want to talk about
that. You got a poet spirit in there. I see how you flip that.
What sort of
can you write for anybody?
Can I what?
Write for anybody.
Yes.
Like any artist. Can you write for a Sexy Red?
Yes. Yes, I could. It'll be the most intelligent song she's ever done. Yes, like, I could write it.
Like off the top, can you like two bars, two lines?
Two
like,
lines for Sexy Red?
Like right now, right.
Oh no, that's gonna require me to sit and really think about making that right. You know, much love to Sexy Red. I ain't got no beef with you, mama. We good.
Oh no, mm-hmm. Not for sure. I just want to see like where it can kind of show a different side of her as well. You know, because she gets a certain type of.
She's in the best possible space right now. She's shown us one element of herself, which means there is so much room to grow into whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? So she's in a great place right now. You know, the element that she's shown us, people have you know, choose to like or dislike or whatever the case may be. But in that she's only shown us that one element, sky's the limit. She can go wherever. So I could write Sexy Red, her first love song, about being in love with somebody that you can't get close to. I could write that song for Sexy Red, because I'm sure that she could relate.
That brought up a point, and I want to approach this extremely delicately. You said something about Sexy Red, which I in no way thought was offensive. Uh-huh. And you immediately went, much love to Sexy Red, though I got nothing against her, right? And we are all in that place where we can say, we don't care what people think, and we could truly mean that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that the perception of what we say and how people can misunderstand that and then regurgitate that doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect our bottom line. It doesn't affect the way that we're able to move. It doesn't affect the way that people want to do business with us. And then we have people who tell us, okay, maybe you should apologize for this. Maybe you should backtrack on that. How have you navigated being true to Neo, right? Saying things that you truly feel, and then also realizing that once those things are part of the media cycle and that opinion starts to be part of that criticism, how do you navigate, okay, this is okay to leave out there? This is okay for people to think about me? This is okay? Or this, I have to correct because it can affect me in other ways other than just my feelings.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with making it clear to, you know, an individual that I mean you no harm. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because if I genuinely mean you no harm, then why is it a big deal? Why would it be difficult for me to make sure that you understand? Look, I ain't got no beef with you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. However, if you all of a sudden feel like I need to apologize for having an opinion about something, well, that's totally different. Because again, as we've been talking about it all day, everybody is entitled to their opinion. It's yours, and you can feel how you want to feel, and you can express it when you want to express it. So for somebody to feel like you should apologize for giving your opinion on something, when you are in fact an individual with an opinion, I don't agree with that, and I will never agree with that. You know what I mean? And I just think that that's another form of bullying. That's another form of just, I don't rock with that. If you are allowed to feel the way you feel, loudly and flamboyantly and big for all the world to see, you're allowed to say, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is what I am, whatever the case may be. If you're allowed to do that at the top of your lungs and standing on a soapbox, I am allowed to equally disagree with you. I'm allowed.
And having dealt with that, you know, in your career and recently as you've grown to understand that, is there ever a time, man, you just like, shoot, I just want to retreat and just not be seen, not talk, not give that opinion, not speak, which is part of branding and marketing and continuing to let people know that you're here to do a job. Mm-hmm. But is it ever like, man, listen, I just want to retreat to do what I love, which is write, which is make music, and not have to be a part of the media cycle that helps you, but in a lot of times also people use it against you?
Well, yeah. And when I need those moments, that's exactly what I do. You know, I'll get in my studio and, you know, I'll fly me and my crew to Jamaica and we'll be out there for a week just cutting, you know, phones off. We ain't dealing with the world this week. We in here, we doing what we doing. And then once we're recharged, all right, now let's get back in the storm. Yeah, I feel like everybody needs that from time to time. And it ain't nothing wrong with taking them moments. It ain't nothing wrong with turning your damn phone off for the day or just not going to IG today. You know, it ain't nothing wrong with that. It ain't nothing wrong with giving yourself a break from all that and coming back into your reality and your moment. You know, the past is gone and tomorrow ain't promised. You got right this second. It's really all that you have. You ever think about that? Like the past, the only way to get back to the past is in here. Mm-hmm. Because they ain't figured out how to time travel yet. So the only way that you can get back to that thing that hurt you back there, or that thing that upset you or whatever it was, is in here, which means you have to physically do it. You got to go in your head and go and pull that memory back up. Same thing with the future. It ain't no way for us to get there before we're supposed to be there. The only way to do it is to go in here. So the only thing you really and truly have is right here, right now. So why would I focus on that over there that ain't even happened yet, or that back there that happened and I can't change? I can't do nothing about it. It happened. It was what it was. I'm going to put my focus right here. I'm going to put my focus right here in this moment, and I'm not going to concern myself with things that aren't necessary to concern myself. It's like anxiety is the future, depression is the past. You, if you live in the moment, you can avoid both.
You recently performed at the White House, mm-hmm. and also Mike Rubin's 4th of July White Party.
Yeah, man.
What are those experiences like? Because it would seem that this is one end of the spectrum, and then you got crazy, a lot of celebrities, a lot of crazy shit at Mike Rubin's. What has been your favorite or most memorable performance dope. In your career, along with that?
Well, performing at the White House was dope because it was a 4th of July celebration. I got to take all of my kids with me. All seven of my children were there. Well, no, I'm sorry. The youngest, the baby wasn't there, but my six other kids was there with my mom and my sister. And, you know, my son broke something that's supposed to be priceless, and they let it slide. I thank you to White House, whichever camera. Thank you for not making me pay for that.
What was it?
It was some sort of a vase or something. I don't know.
Your kids broke it.
It fell. It broke.
White House?
And I was like, I'm sorry, I replaced it. And they were like, you can't.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah,
she left y'all those niggas home.
Not gonna be able to go to the store and buy another one of those. Yeah. Just not gonna... But no, it was a dope experience. I did not know that Joe Biden was a Neo fan. I ain't mad at that. All right, cool, Joe. Thank you. Appreciate it. He actually sat on the balcony and watched the whole show, which I thought was cool because they told me that he don't do that. Like, all right, well damn, cool.
Dope, yeah.
If I ever need a favor, I'm gonna hit you up, Joe. All White Party. That was, it's it just feels good to me to be appreciated in both spectrums. You know, wherever your opinion puts you at, it's like people that appreciate my music. The president, celebrities, it's all blessings to me.
Right.
It's all blessings to me at the end of the day. Most memorable performance ever. Might have been just recently. I performed in Brazil at a music festival, and it was like 100,000 plus people there. Jeez. Like just a literal sea of people. It's like to the point where it don't even look like people no more. It's just,
wow.
You know what I mean? And the love was so real, man. It was deafening, you know, just the noise and the energy, like it was electric. And I'll never forget that. If ever I get into that place where I start feeling underappreciated, which is rare, I can really pull up memories like that. You know, 80,000 people at Wembley Stadium all jumping up and down at the same time. Grab somebody sexy, tell them. 80,000, the building is shaking, you know what I mean? Off of a line that I wrote in the bathroom.
Wow.
Damn.
It puts it in perspective for you. It's like, in the moment, I have no idea. I'm writing what feel good. Tonight, I want all of you. Tonight, give me every, yeah, that works. Go to move, record that thing.
That just made
80,000 people. Yeah, man.
That just made that song so disgusted, no doubt. Like, that's a jam, too, man. And now every time you hear it, you can be like, hey. But it's going to be the cool story I can tell people. You know Neo was on the toilet when you get old, talking to your homeboy. You know, I was hanging out with Neo. Yeah, he wrote that on the toilet.
On the toilet, yes.
That was in between indeed. Poop one and two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, he gonna name drop you, Neo.
A few of my records have happened that way. Oddly enough, the toilet is a place where you can center and focus. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you get shit out in there.
There you go.
That's crazy you say that, because I was gonna say, like, how far into a song? Like, when you writing a song, do you ever know, oh, I got this bad motherfucker here, or you gotta actually... Oh,
man. So, to be honest with you, I don't never know what's gonna hit. I really and truly don't, bro. Like, I don't, and the few times that I've ever gone to the studio, like, all right, today I'm going to write a hit. It didn't happen. Like, you know, because that, putting that pressure on yourself before you even get started is the surefire way to make sure that nothing is gonna come out of that session. Because you don't set the bar too high. Like, now I go in the studio and just go, you know what? Wherever my artistic integrity and passion takes me is where we're gonna go today. It could be a hook on a hip-hop song, could be the best R&B record I've ever written, could be a pop record, I have no idea. We just gonna go in here and do what feel good and then hope that the world follows suit. I will say this, I have one member of my team, my manager, everybody calls him Tango. Tango, when I first met him, did not have a radio in his truck, but was telling me that he was gonna manage my music career. I was like, nigga, you don't even listen to music. How are you gonna make that make sense, pimp? Like, you don't, there's no radio. We roll around in silence, like forced to talk to each other types. But he's never been wrong, ever. He's always picked the one. Like, and it'll be a situation where like the whole room is like, nah, man, it's number two. Tango's like, mm-mm, number three.
Really?
Watch. Go for it. And sure enough, he's never been wrong. My song Closer. Like when I wrote Closer, I wrote it to sell it. Cause I didn't feel like, at the time I didn't feel like my fan base was gonna understand that coming from me. So my plan was to sell it. So I got finished with it. I'm like, yeah, we gonna sell this easy. They was like, sell it? Nah, bro, that's yours. You better keep that.
Right.
I'm like, nah, I don't wanna keep this. This is, I'm good. Let's get it to somebody to do that. And they're like, bruh.
This the one.
This is your song.
Wow.
Matter of fact, it was Tango and Jay-Z. They were the two that believed in that record. Everybody else was like, okay. And then they decided to make it a single. I'm like, yo, do y'all not like me? Are y'all trying to sink the ship? Like, this is not going. Song comes out, first 2 months, nobody cared. And I'm like, see, I told y'all. We went to the label to have a meeting with them about changing singles. Before I got in the door good, Jay-Z stopped me like, bruh, do not get off this record. I understand, it ain't working right now. Do not get off this record. I promise you, when they get it, they're gonna get it. I'm like, damn. As I'm about to walk into L.A. Reid's office and tell him, yeah, let's switch singles. I go, you know what, we good where we at. I'll play with it. Damn. That year, we did the BET Awards, and I performed the record. And I don't know if people just needed to know, to be shown how to rock with it or whatever, but after that performance, that shit became a rocket. It took off, and we never looked back. And to this day, Tango can hit me with a universal I told you so.
Yeah.
Wow.
That he takes advantage of every chance he gets.
Wow.
Man, every chance he gets.
I mean, shoot, Tango and Jay-Z, though. I mean, that, I don't know Tango well. I know Jay-Z. He know hits.
Oh, yeah.
Chad,
oh,
is this good?
You got, oh, it's got delicious, bro. This new flavor?
The new joint?
Yeah, man. Cherry limeade.
Cherry
limeade. You look like a cherry limeade drinker. Celsius probably made this for you.
I have a little kid palate. Yeah. I drink some sweet.
I drank
sweet
mine
flavors.
Already. Mine is done.
Man, the question we always ask, and especially with you, such a multifaceted career, also successful on so many different levels, is what's your biggest pivot? What's biggest pivot? The moment in your life that you look to as whether it's a turning point, whether it's something that motivated you to be different, to work differently, or something in your personal life that is, whether it's affected you or inspired you in a way that the Neo we see sitting before us is not there or not here without that moment?
Around my second album, I remember it was the Virgin Megastore, Superstore, whatever the hell, in New York. It don't exist no more. And we were doing a signing, a meet and greet. You know, people come up with their CD. This is the CD still. People come up with their CD or their poster. You sign it, take a picture, they go about their business, right? There's this guy standing in the line. Mind you, this is my second album, so my fan base is primarily female. And you got this one middle-aged white dude standing in line with all women. So right away, security is like, right? Like, all right, we watching this dude, right? So he gets to the front of the line. He's not holding a CD. He's not holding a poster or nothing. He walks up and he says, bro, I was going to kill myself yesterday. And then your song came on and I didn't do it. Thank you. And he walked away. That shit shook me to my core in that moment, because it was just such a, it was just a weird, like right now, I'm chills just thinking about it. But what that did for me is made me realize that power that I was talking about earlier. Music is not just words and pretty melodies. Music is a power. Music is an energy. And it can change. It can change a thought. It can change a belief. It can save a damn life.
Dang.
Like, at this point, no disrespect to award shows and all of that, but for a person to come up to me and tell me that, you know, their first dance was for one of my records, that's bigger than any award I'll ever be granted. That means more to me than any of the other stuff that's supposed to mean so much. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel more appreciation in that moment than I would standing at a panel in front of my peers holding a little trophy, like, well, this thing's heavy. I saved a life with a song. He didn't tell me what song, he didn't have to. Ain't no matter. I saved a life with a song. You brought your baby into this world with one of my songs. You decided you want to spend the rest of your life with this person, and one of my songs was a part of that. That's why this Neo is sitting here.
Wow.
For that.
Nah, that's a,
yeah.
That's a wrap, bro. That's amazing. We appreciate your time, dog.
Damn.
That was dope.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hey, Neo, do you, so feel, much you mentioned it kind of earlier. Do you feel like a responsibility to make music age with you?
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On the mission, get me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up.